Man, seize the opportunity every time you're together corporately to really, truly, like you said, engage, honor Him. And see, I think worship is actually a gift to us because it begins where the nature of God and the person of God is revealed. That's where worship is found, in who He is. So when you worship Him and you start worshiping who He is and declaring who He is, even just like holy is the Lord, you can feel that in the room when everybody's from their heart, holy, holy. It just builds. You could stay there all day and the rest of your life. Amen. It's just a gift, I believe, to us. Like, and I want to encourage you to have that kind of active worship life in your own life. When nobody's around, when nobody's looking, when it's just you and Him, have confidence before God that He loves you. He forgave you. He made you clean. He washed you in His precious blood. And just have access to God through the blood of Jesus all the time. Years ago, I talked to a lot of people when I full-time pastored and counseled a lot. So I ask a lot of questions and I would ask people what their communion time looks like with the Lord. And it was amazing that I found a lot of people had a prayer life consisting of their list of things they needed God to do or hoped God would do for them, for their family. So it was like a prayer request list. And that was actually what dominated their time with the Lord, was just praying for stuff that they were hoping God would do. And I found that very few people had a communion life with the Lord, where they actually communed with the Lord. And it's actually through the person of Holy Spirit. You have communion and fellowship with Him, the Bible says. Two places in the New Testament, Philippians 2, 2 Corinthians 13, talks about a communion and fellowship with Holy Spirit. But this is interesting. This is what I found. It was almost 90-some percent of Christians that I asked had never acknowledged God's love for them and initiated the thought that God loved them on their own, outside of corporate worship or a song. They never just walked through their house and said, "Father, thank you for loving me. Man, I so appreciate that you love me." Never just driving in their car, "God, you're so good. Thanks for washing me clean, for loving me, forgiving me, and making me free." Like, what would happen to a believer if he woke up every day and believed he was free? Apart from feelings, temptations, memories, thoughts, impressions, dreams. I wonder if he just actually believed he's free in the face of everything that's trying to say he's not. And just actually holds on to God and believes God and acknowledges His love. It would transform our lives, people. So I had a lot of talk about deliverance this weekend, a lot of personal questions about deliverance. So I'm not sure why that topic seems so hot right now. But I know that in my Bible in Colossians 1, I'm talking for me, man. I said, I'm going a little flaky on you. He says, I have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There's a place for me to embrace that freedom, declare that freedom, and believe that freedom or deliverance. A lot of people are waiting to feel delivered. God wants you to believe delivered. In the midst, we got to be careful we're not ministering a bunch of emotions and memories and flashbacks. We got to have the truth in our life. And sometimes the things we're struggling with aren't even a prayer issue. They're a truth issue. And it's you putting on the truth. If you have a memory and a flashback of something you wish you never did, but it's not in your heart to do it, that memory's not coming from you in your heart. You don't need delivered of that memory. You need to stop believing it as if it's who you are. So if the memory comes, watch this, if the devil ever learns you don't know who you are and you're buying into the memory and wearing it as a jacket, you're getting the memory constantly. You need to defeat that thing by the simple truth. And when the memory comes, you ought to lift your voice to God and scare that thing that's lying to you. Say, "Father, I thank you. You've made me free. I thank you. You've washed me clean. God, I thank you that everything about my past is washed away. And I have today and I have the days to come, God, to live you and enjoy you and know you and manifest you." You can live that and believe that in the face of bad memories, in the face of thoughts and accusations. You can wake up in the middle of the night, have a demonic dream, wake up, and it was so real. And right there, you ought to lift your hands and say, "Father, I thank you for the redemption of the cross." Like, it's not time to grab your cell phone and cry and call your friend that you call a prayer warrior and say, "Can you pray for me? I just had a demonic dream." What you're saying is, I'm putting on the dream. The dream is my reality. The dream is truth to me. No, the dream is a lie from hell, and it's trying to disjoint you and distract you and get you off of the truth, so the truth never makes you free and becomes your reality. Yeah. We don't need as much prayer in these topics as we think. We need more truth than we need prayer. It's the truth that makes you free. Who's ever seen somebody like just start remembering the sins that they were wishing they never did? Like they knew they'd never do this, but they did it. And now they're crying, and it takes them a while to work through it. You know what I'm talking about? And they keep thinking back on it and feeling bad. Now they're going good for a year, 6 months, whatever. And they're actually got a good count. And so then one day, they just look a little grayed out. And they're like, what's going on? And it's like, I think I just need some prayer. This thing, I don't know what's going on in me. Like, what's going on? Well, I was just on the way to work, and that thing just came back to me so vivid. It was like I was there. Who knows what I'm talking about? Now watch, the fact that they're graying out and crying and concerned means it has nothing to do with them, their heart, it's recollection, it's a demonic spirit, but it's not in them. But you know how many times we think just because we thought it and experienced it, we take responsibility for it? And what the devil's trying to do is get you to repent for something you're not. The fact that you care, the fact that you cry and wish you didn't see it means it has nothing to do with you and it's not coming from your heart. So I don't want anybody to sell cheap to this thing and buy into this thing because if you say you need delivered in that situation there's a place for deliverance. Don't get me wrong. There's people that are bound. There's people that come into the fold. I'm really talking to people that you sit here and you know you're saved. You know you're born again. And you know Jesus shed his blood and he put his life, his spirit inside of you. And he has seen you through his son. It's time for every one of us that know that's true to start lifting our hearts every day and our voices to God when we wake up. You ought to lay in your bed and not even get out of bed and just put on your spirit before you put on your slippers. Yeah? Well, I never take off my spirit to begin with, but what I mean is put him on every day. You use the phrase, we put on Christ, right? You wake up every day, Father, thank you for the gift of today. Thank you, God, that you live in me and you love me. Thank you that you've forgiven me of everything I've ever done. God, it feels so good to be clean in your presence and accepted through your son. God, thank you, Father, for loving me. Like if a Christian believed that and lived there and spoke there and thought there, oh my goodness, it would transform your life, right? You're full of light, period. Unless of course you just got laid off and your spouse is acting a little funny. If your eyes single and you understand who you are and why you're here, you're going to walk this thing out. I want to show you something because you mentioned Matthew 7. Go there with me if you could. I want to encourage you in something. You guys understand that when we came to Christ, we entered into the kingdom, but we also entered into a war. Yeah. You understand your war is not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
You understand it's powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places that we tend to get, feel like there's a wrestling against. And they're not actually even your fight. Nowhere in Scripture does it say the devil is your fight. Faith is your fight. You fight the good fight of faith. You're living to stay in a place of believing in the face of it all. Like the fight the Christian is in, it is rarely taught this way. We think we're fighting the devil. We think, I bind you, I rebuke you, I bind you. And we think we're in this fight with the devil. No, the wrestling we experience is with the devil, but our fight is the good fight of faith. It's standing steadfast in the truth of what Christ accomplished and who I am in him. So every voice, everything, every impression, every thought that rises itself above the knowledge of God, I need to cast it down and bring it into obedience and hold it captive according to Christ. Yeah. And that's the weapon of my warfare. And that's called truth. Are y'all with me? So listen, we're in a demon war. It's kind of strange when you think about it, but it's not strange. We're in a demon war against the kingdom of God, not against you. We're in a demon war against the kingdom of God. Satan got cast out of heaven. He's on the earth and God's brought heaven to the earth and he's trying to stop heaven on the earth because he can't stop God. Yeah. Are you all with me? There's a law, each seed after its own kind. God made man in his image. God made man with intention. Everybody in this room and everybody you'll ever see in your whole life and pass by and see with your eyes is all on the earth with an intention from the Lord. Now, they might not know it. We're supposed to know that. That's why we love people. That's why we don't judge according to the flesh. That's why forgive them, Father. They know not what they do is a real big deal because people are blind. That's why we don't get hurt, angry. We don't get judgmental, first impression, stereotype. stereotype and have a heart that's less than his. Are you all with me? I feel like I'm rolling today. Am I saying a lot? I'm like, oh, it must be. I know it's my last crack at you all. We're in a demon war against the kingdom of God. It's strange because he can't defeat God, but he believes he can defeat God in you. He believes he's been doing it for generations. He's so arrogant in the book of Job. He says to God, Job's no different than anybody else. It's really what, if you paraphrase what he said, God honored Job and said, there's no one like him. And the devil's like, not impressed with that. That's arrogant. Talking to God. If God said there's no one like Job, who knows? Job's different. But then it's just like the devil to say, well, no, he ain't. But his reasoning is convicting, and I'm glad it's written. Because the devil said to God, Job is like any other man. He's only the way he is because you've blessed him on every side. Because you've hedged him in and you've made him fat in the land. The only reason Job is the way he is because you've been favor towards him. But if you take away that favor, he'll do like everybody else in the room and curse you to your face. You know what he's saying to God? He's saying, people don't love you. Cut me a break. People don't love you. They need you. They come to you for what you can do for them. They don't come to you for you. They come to you for what you give them. And you know what? A whole lot of the time, he's right. And you have to make sure he's never right about that. That's your place. You with me? So Job loses everything. And God said, have you considered Job? He hasn't cursed me, hasn't changed. He said, skin for skin. This is the devil quipping right back to God. Skin for skin. Man will do anything to save his own life. Now he arrogantly believes that, and unfortunately he's right in a lot of cases. The gospel's the total opposite. You got to give your life. And if you find your life, you lose it. But if you lose it for his name's sake, you found it. And here's the devil talking to God. Men ain't that way. They sing that way, but they don't live that way. They talk that way, but they don't act that way. When it comes right down to it, man's all about himself, and he does what he does for his own sake. Man will do anything to save himself. That's the devil talking to God, which means that's what he believes about every one of us. That's why it's recorded, so we understand. It's really the only place that's recorded where the devil's talking like that. And he's talking to God, and he's out of the abundance of the heart. Don't think that's not true for Satan. He's speaking what he believes. So he believes that about you and me. You better make sure he's never right. That's why you deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. That takes me to Matthew 7. Thanks for bringing it up. When you read it, it struck me, and I felt like the Lord said, start there. Like spring there. And I figured, okay, this is going to be fun. Because I don't come with a sermon. Y'all know that, right? I didn't stay up late last night and write a pile of notes. And I'm sorry if it sounds unprepared, but I didn't even think about the service this morning and what I'm going to say. I've purposed to not even think about it because it's never what I'm thinking anyway when I get up here, so why bother thinking about it? But we're on a roll right now. I'm feeling good about this right now. Most of the time I look like I know what I'm doing to you probably, but I don't have a clue. Most of the time I'm on the same journey you're on, and I have fun when we land, and I get excited when the smoke clears, and I'm like, that was good. But I'm a little ahead of y'all right now because I kind of see where we're going right now. I'm excited. You in Matthew 7? Yes, sir. Man, this stuff will help us. He just said about not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. He just said that because he jumps in 24 with a therefore, but he's doing a lot of sayings here. I mean, if you look, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right up until, oh my goodness, I think it's solid red letters right up until verse 28 of 7. I think 5, 6, and 6, and 7 is solid red letters the whole way through. Boy, that's, John G. Lake used to say, that's the Supreme Court of God. The red letters of Jesus. You just sit and read the red letters. Woo! That's him talking the truth. Yeah? Oh, that makes me happy. Here he is. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, I've heard a lot of interpretations about that. But just be careful in the interpretations you hear about. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord. And they say, yeah, but we've done great things in your name. And I'm telling you, depart from me. Here's the key to that paragraph. He said, I never knew you. He didn't say they're backslid or they were ministers that got off track. He said, I never knew you. So it sounds like it's possible to get in touch maybe with your gift and flow in it and not know him, or think you're doing good things apart from knowing him in relationship. Because you can do things for reputation. You can do things for appreciation. You know what I'm saying? So it's a tough one to discern. But what I see in that is he said, depart from me, I never knew you. He's not talking about somebody that went wayward. He's talking about somebody he's never known. Just a thought I'm throwing out there. Therefore, because he just preached in Matthew 5 and 6, I don't have time to read it all straight through. But this therefore is saying, in light of all I've just said. Are you with me? The therefore means in light of everything I just said. And he's talking the Beatitudes, he's talking Matthew 6, it's chock full. Those chapters are chock full. I tell new believers, read the Gospels, read the red letters of Jesus, and then make sure you read like Ephesians, you know, Philippians, Colossians in order, you know, and go ahead and read 1 John after that. Then maybe the Gospel of John, just read your Bible. But there is a sense of an order there with it. I want people to understand Jesus. Who are we following? Jesus. So we have to get to know Jesus. We have to see his words. And when he's talking for three chapters, straight red letters without taking a break. And then he says, therefore, whoever has these sayings of mine and hears these sayings of mine. So he's talking about everything I just said in the last couple chapters. Are you with me? Okay, watch this. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that means believes them, acts on them, practices them and becomes them, right? I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rock is who? Christ, right? So who are we following? Christ. Everything runs through him, man. It's all about him. He holds all things together by the word of his power. There's nothing made that wasn't made through him, and we exist by him. Amen? So watch this. So he built his house on the rock, and the rain descended. Did you hear that? The rain didn't come while he was hearing the sayings. It was when he heard and acted on it. There's a time frame of grace. There's a grace that allows you to hear and begin to apply. God doesn't let us get overrun. He doesn't allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. And he always provides a way of... So here's the good news in that, and we don't teach this enough. Whatever you're going through, God knows you're empowered to go through it, equipped and have the understanding. So it's not time to fall apart, complain, get self-centered and say, I can't believe this is happening. Because he won't allow you to go through more than he knows you can go through. So if it's an intense trial in your mind, just know God's put some intense things inside of you. And you're in a war, and don't take the adversity personal, take the kingdom personal. Because you're in a demon war against the kingdom of God, and he's trying to stop God in people. He's trying to quench the light. Watch. He could care less about your community. He just wants to make sure you don't shine in your everyday life. He doesn't even care if you all love one another. He just wants to make sure you don't shine in your everyday life. Are you with me? I mean, the devil could care less how many people go to church. He just wants to make sure they don't shine. They hear the word. What happens? They hear the word and become that word and start growing in that word, and that word becomes a reality in their life. They start doing that word. And what happens? Right on the heels of them applying and becoming, rains descend, winds come, and floods come. That's indicative of, that's like shadow, that's like adversity, trials. You have to understand what he's talking about. The house he's building is the kingdom of God being built around us. It's our understanding. It's the fortress of truth. Yeah? That's being built in every man's life. What Satan is doing is, watch this, it beats vehemently what? You see it? The rain descends, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. I think the Amplified or one of the translations say vehemently on the house. What did it beat on? The house. What is the intention of the adversity? To destroy the occupant or what was built? It's in your word. The adversity's target is to tear down what God's building through his word in your life. At best, to get you to know what it says and never become what it says. Try to get you tricked into letting knowledge take the place of revelation. Knowing about him take the place of knowing him. We had this conversation this morning, didn't we? And he actually brought that one up. Attaboy. It's a paradox. Knowledge will puff you up. Love edifies. So what the enemy's doing is he's beating on what's being built. He's challenging and trying to break down what God's establishing in our lives. Why? Because he's so threatened by God and the Word of God, and he doesn't ever want you to become Christ-like. He can't defeat God. He can't stop God. He is less than God. And he knows that we were made in God's image and are empowered by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's why Jesus said to us, I give you all authority over all power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. He didn't say you won't go through adversity. He didn't say the devil's not going to try to shut you down, steal the word. You get on a high moment, you got a word from the Lord, you go out sailing, God just spoke to me, and then all hell breaks loose against that thing to try to steal that moment and take that revelation. The adversity, you cannot ever take what you're going through personal. You have to think first for the kingdom of God. We're not here to get by. We're not here to survive. God forbid that we continue as Christians. I'm not talking to the room. I'm talking as the church. That we continue to go to God to survive, get through, be provided for and protected. Because if that's our only motive in going to God, then adversity has a very loud voice. My Bible says glory in tribulation. Count it joy when you're faced with various things. Why? Because in those things, you have the right to be made in everything you say you believe. Because you won't bow, cower, or back off. Because you're surrendered, submitted, and love not your own life unto death. And you realize you're in a war, and you already won, and you are not going to compromise. You are fighting the good fight of faith. Are you saying, well, you're not fighting the devil. You're fighting the good fight of faith. Every time you submit to God, you're resisting Him. Amen. It's a one-step program. You're not pacing the floor binding the devil. You're pacing the floor declaring truth and building yourself up in your most holy faith.
That's right.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Stop focusing on the devil if you are. He is a cut-off, withering branch coming to nothing. And he wants your attention. He wants your focus. He wants you to put him on a platform. You see what happens when you give a microphone to somebody? They manifest. Don't give him a microphone.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm so intense. It feels urgent in my heart. That's all I can tell you. It just feels urgent. God rescues us this way. It's a family meeting. It's a family meeting. What's the storm? That's why you can't take adversity personal. You can't let it become another part of your story, and you can't believe what I'm going through. And oh, another thing. Lo, this again. Once you do that, you make yourself vulnerable. You're letting the enemy even know. You call a friend crying and say, here we go again. If I have to go through this again, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. No, just pass the test. Did you ever have to retake a test that you passed? In school?
No.
The one that you flunked, you had to. But the test you passed, you never took that again. People say, why does this keep happening? Here's what I want you to notice. The wise man, did he do anything to open a door for the adversity he faced?
No.
Guess what we say in the church? I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why God's allowing this. I don't know why he's trying to, I don't know what he's trying to teach me. I don't know what door I open.
Yeah.
The door you open is you heard the word. And the devil didn't come for your sake. He came for the word's sake. He doesn't want you to know the word. He don't care if you can quote it. He just doesn't want you to be it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to walk in love. He wants you to talk about it, but never walk in love. He wants you to say, I love you, but never really actually love. Yeah? The storm has nothing to do with the occupant. The storm has to do with what God's building. And he's trying to constantly tear down the kingdom because the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you take adversity personal and internalize it, you're going to make a big mistake. How can we deny ourselves and love not our own life unto death and continue to take all our adversity personal as if it's another saga in a season 10 of our life? Come on. This isn't the days of our lives. It's him in us. And we overcome. You see what I'm saying? Are you guys okay? Oh, sorry, I flipped my Bible upside down. We can't do that. So, go to Mark. Well, Mark 4 is good, but let's go to Luke 8. Luke 8 says it a little different, or it adds a little more. It doesn't say it different, it just adds. In Matthew 4, it's the parable of the sower. Jesus calls it the parable of parables. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand any of them. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Right? You know that's in your Bible, right? And in that parable, it's the sower sows the word. The sower, the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. And then some seed fell on wayward ground. Some seed fell on rocky ground. And there's different types. There's four types of soil. The last one's good ground. And then the disciples are like, what are you talking about? And he said, you don't understand this parable? And then he explains it in Matthew. And he says, the ones that are by the wayside. So they're hearing, but their motive for hearing isn't lined up. Their hearts aren't surrendered. The seed has nowhere solid to land. You're not committed. You don't understand. You're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You might just want a blessing. You don't want to surrender. So when the seed comes to that kind of motive, it's landing in Never Never Land. And it says it gets trampled and the birds of the air come and eat it up. When he explains it, he says it's Satan, which means it's adversity. It's when it says trampled, that's a sign that's adversity. That's you getting trampled on. That's your life getting afflicted. Why? Because you heard the word. You say, man, I don't know if I want to hear the word if I'm going to get afflicted. No, that's why you're surrendered. You love not your own life. Like, you're not even threatened by affliction. You'll get a greater revelation every time you go through something this way. You'll be more... Do you see the passion in me as I'm talking? I don't need Shadrach's story anymore. I got so many of my own. He is Lord. Like, it would not be a good idea to squeeze me. Because Jesus is coming out. And he's going to fill the room. Because I'm not picking a fight, but I ain't afraid of one. I'm fighting the good fight of faith. So you don't even see affliction as affliction. You glory in it and see it as an opportunity to be more solid and manifest the truth. How else do you glory in tribulation? He's not saying sing a happy song when your checkbook's dry and you got bills. Woo! This is awesome! Over budgeted! Whoop, whoop! That's not what he's talking about! He's talking about, I'm in covenant with you, and I'm one with you, and this is amazing, God. See, Satan, he's so sure that he has every one of us figured out. He's so sure, and he's arrogant, but some of it is experience. He knows men for generations. He's watched pastors in secret. He's watched anointed and gifting people do things. He's got us figured out in his mind. And when the word comes, he says, not a problem. And he begins to move in ways. And it's to steal the word. Every time he comes, He believes he can break you. He doesn't believe you're surrendered. He doesn't believe your worship. He doesn't believe your devotions. He doesn't believe you're belonging to this community. He wants the rubber to meet the road and see how you react when things get tried. And he is convinced and sure he can break you. But here's what you have to understand. Every time he comes that way, he runs the great risk of making you. If you really are committed and you really do surrender and you really do believe. You see what I'm saying here? Come on, this thing is real. Watch this. Class participation, help me. How many people since you've been saved have been attacked in your mind, thought of things you didn't want to think, had things in your mind you couldn't even explain why they were there? And the more you didn't want them to come, the more they showed up. And sometimes during worship. Anybody? Now, do you think that's an accident? But the temptation is to you to weigh your heart through that. Question if you're all the way free, all the way clean. But the thing's defiling you. It's making you upset and you wish it would never happen. But it comes back. And if you're not careful, you start assessing yourself and evaluating yourself. And you start thinking it has to do with you and your heart. And now you're seeking ministry so it all goes away instead of letting it go away through the truth of who you really are in Christ. See, the devil, he is just sure we're so feeling driven and so sensual. So then we try to minister to people to make them feel better. No, make them believe better. So if somebody came to me and said, man, I'm getting these things during worship. I used to be bound to porn, and it happened to me at a spiritual school where I was training on the word of knowledge. And we're in the middle of worship, and it was deep and intense, and we lost all the instruments, and it was intense. And all we had is one little girl touching high keys on her knees, reaching up, touching high keys. That's all we had left. And God was in the room. And I got a mic, and I'm their teacher. I'm the speaker. Woo, Pastor Dan's here. And I got a video going through my head like I'm watching it, like I plugged it in. I've never even watched much stuff in my life. It was like the only video I ever watched in my whole life. On that night, years after I'm saved, filled with God, excited about Jesus, this ridiculous video is going through my head in an atmosphere of the holiness of God. Why? Because it wants me to get analytical and say, wow, this must still be... For this to come in the presence of God, how can this even stand in the presence of God? How was Satan talking to God in his chambers? And then all of a sudden, get me to gray out, lay down my mic and crawl to the altar crying, repenting for something that's a million miles from my heart. And put on an identity of what I thought about and recollected instead of the identity of the one that lives inside of me. So guess what I did? I didn't ask for prayer. I didn't need deliverance. Well, you know that thing has been hanging with you all this time. Stop it! No, it hasn't. It's recollection at best. It's a demonic spirit reminding me. It's a familiar spirit at best. It ain't in my heart. And it riled me up when I saw it. And the atmosphere is nobody's talking. You're afraid to talk. You have a mic. You don't even know what to do. It was holy. People were wiped out, frozen. And there was high keys going ding, ding. And it shook you every time she touched one. It shook you. It was one of those atmospheres. You ever been in that before? You don't even want a mic. And guess what happened? Because I fight the good fight of. And I'm in a demonic war against the kingdom of God. And it ain't personal. And he's trying to keep me from ever becoming what Christ paid for. And I lifted my voice. I would have scared you all because I scared the room. Because it's holy hush. And the presence of God is coursing over people. And there's weeping and there's trembling. And it was that real. And in the middle of all that, this video goes ding. And I saw about one frame of that video and knew exactly what was happening. And I knew it was looking for an opportune time, getting me to get puzzled and how and why. It should know me better by now. It's tried that stuff enough. It should know me better by now. But it said, let's look for an opportune time. This is the perfect time. Bzzz. I haven't thought of that video since before I was saved. Let alone after I'm saved. And I'm years into Jesus. And now this thing out of the past just goes through my head. I said, Soon as it went through my head, I scared the room. I said, now I won't do it as loud as I did it then, I'm sure, but I said, because I got a mic on. I said, Father, I thank you. I thank you for loving me, transforming me, washing me, and making me clean. God, I just started to declare righteousness and that I'm free and I'm holy in His sight. And thank you that I'm your son. Amen. See, what would you do? Better not gray out. Better not say, I wonder why I'm thinking this filthy stuff. I wonder what's wrong with me. There ain't nothing wrong with you because you don't want to see it. And you didn't conjure it. And you ain't musing on it. And you ain't rewinding it. And you wish it never came into your head. True? Who's ever had this stuff happen? Don't you ask for prayer ever again. You lift your voice and you declare the truth about your life and your heart and your mind. It's the biggest game of the devil. Somebody's over here sitting and they're growing in God. They're growing in God. Will you help me? Sit here. What's your name?
Stacy.
Stacy's over here growing in God, man. She's just having a good time. Yeah. Like you're reading the word. Just sit there. Just be with Jesus. Just be with Jesus. The devil's over here watching Stacy. He's going, this is a little scary. This girl's getting on to some truth. Man, her heart's sincere. I've been weighing this. She's actually alone talking to God. She's actually crying when nobody's looking. She's kneeling by her bed and ain't nobody knows it. This ain't a show. This girl is going after God. We got to do something. So he calls one of his little cohorts over. Yeah, boss. What? He says, listen, man. I'm concerned about this girl, Stacy. I need you to help me out. Oh, boss, you're the best. I think it's where the fist bump came from. You're so wise. And he comes. And Stacy, she's just growing in Jesus. She's just in her little bedroom. She's just reading. Just be with Jesus. Don't look at the devil. Be with Jesus. Just be with Jesus. So the devil, he comes over. He's coming over. And he's always got a plan. He's going to rehash, relive, backlash. Who knows that almost all the stuff goes through your mind that tries to gray out has to do with yesterday, the past. Yeah. Guess what doesn't belong to you in Scripture? The past. It's not yours. It's illegal. It's not even yours. It's been bought with a price. You have the present and things to come. You don't even have the past. You're a new creation in Christ. You're born again. You have a new day one, so you don't have any other days. Whoop, whoop. Wonder if we just actually believe the gospel. And stop believing all the feelings that the devil's playing with through memories. Whoa! Whoa! She perceived the devil. So she's just growing to God. He comes and he says, oh, so you really think this is all true? I mean, come on, can you really be clean? I mean, you're trying to tell me that 6 years ago and when this and this and this, and you're telling me everything's okay. And all of a sudden, this memory tries to hit her. And if she's not careful, she starts feeling what she's hearing. So she has some options, don't she? I hope she has none but one. But she could gray out, or she could say, Father, and totally ignore this. Did you ever play the ignore game with anybody? Did you ever get ignored? And you're like, come on, you know you hear me. And the people are like, hey, man, like you're not even on the earth. It's frustrating, right? Why don't we do that to the devil? Why do we always pay him attention? Why don't you just ignore him? He's a nobody, cut off, withering branch, coming to nothing. Revelation says in that day we're going to see him and go, this is the one that wreaked havoc among the nations? This is him? Revelation says we're going to marvel and go, this is the one that caused all this trouble? Because we believed him. How did he go from a slithering serpent cursed on the belly to eat dust all his days? And in Revelation, he's a seven-headed dragon that looks invincible. Because men have made him a monster by fearing him and honoring him and believing him. And they get him bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So Stacy, she's got options, right? So we know what Stacy's going to do. Stacy says, Father, I thank you for your unstoppable love for me. And God, I just thank you. You have washed me so clean and forgiven me of everything I've ever done. And God, I just thank you. And now, because of the devil, she's in a deeper place of intimacy, worship. Now her heart comes alive in some other thanksgivings that she might not have even endeavored in if this guy didn't come over and suggest this. So now she's having a greater time than she had before just because of the suggestion. Yeah. Why? Because his attempt is to break Stacy. But if she's a believer and she's locked in, he's helping to make Stacy. Yeah. So then the devil goes, the little imp goes back to the devil. Boss, boss. He says, did you tell her? Oh, boss, I told her everything. Everything I said? Everything, boss. You ain't going to believe it, boss. Well, what happened? You ain't gonna believe it, boss. She acted like I wasn't even there. She acted like she didn't even hear anything. You didn't tell her. I told you, fool. You didn't tell her. Boss, I promise. I told her. But she lifted her voice and she started to pray to God. I know you couldn't have done that. I did, boss. No, you didn't. Because when you talk like that to Christians, they get grayed out, discouraged, and call for prayer. Not this one, boss. This one didn't do that. Boss, I'm afraid. I'm concerned. I think this one is a believer. Come on, guys. This thing I just acted out happens to everyone. And often. Yeah. Why? Because it's worked over and over and over. Don't let it ever work. If your heart cares about what you're remembering, separate it from you. If it bothers you, it's not you. You do not need prayer. You need to respond in truth and leave that thing with a greater revelation. Some of the things that are so passionate in me are so sealed in me and passionate because of those things. God's wisdom is so amazing. Watch. God's not interested in stopping that from happening. He's interested in you fighting the good fight of faith and believing and becoming more convinced, more sure, and more empowered. And he's actually playing the devil if we'll believe. Instead, we're misunderstanding it. I don't know why I'm always going through this. I don't know why everything has to happen to me. I don't know why. And we say we're surrendered and it's all about me. And now I'm disarrayed and now I'm inconvenienced and not another problem. And you got to be very careful that you ain't playing into the enemy's plan and that you actually have sanctified and set apart unto God. Are you all okay? So in Luke 8, yeah, it is good. I'm telling you, we'll walk this thing out and you become mighty in God. And you actually become untouchable to where I actually have this vision that you need to make it so hard for the devil. Like he can't stop. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. That's just in his nature. So he's like, steal, kill, destroy. But he comes to your life and he's like, huh? Because every time he touches you, you get closer to God. Every time he touches you, truth manifests more in your heart. Every time he touches you, you come out shining brighter. So that's why you submit to God. And he will... Bam. See, we don't have a problem except maybe not believing the truth in the middle of that stuff. Because if it ain't in your heart, don't you take responsibility and don't you repent for something you're not. Don't you put on a jacket that you already took off in Christ. You keep on the thing that he made for you. Because it fits you perfect and you look your best. Yeah. He says... Now the parable in Luke 8, verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is sown and it's the word of God. And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, watch, and the devil comes and takes the word out of their heart. Watch. See, Mark 4 doesn't say this part, but this does, so I'm reading this one. Watch. Lest they should believe and be sozoed. That means, doesn't mean go to heaven. Healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. So the devil's coming to take the word out of their heart, lest they experience the redemption of Christ. Are you seeing? So is he after you, or is he after the truth? He's after the revelation. So when you hear the word, he comes immediately. For the word's sake, some translations say. He comes immediately, not your sake, the word's sake, to take the word out of your heart so you never run the possibility of the word becoming flesh. At best, the word becomes head knowledge, a quotation, a precept, instead of the evidence of my life. And that's why affliction and adversity come. You have to understand that. So look at 1 Peter chapter 1 with me, and I'll close with this. Are we okay with children and time and all that stuff? Because this is the most amazing atmosphere I've ever been in. Like, all these kiddos are just right here, and you wouldn't even know it. Oh my goodness, you guys. Children, you are amazing. You are a gift from heaven. Yeah, these children in this house, I've never experienced in all my years, I've never experienced a setting like this. You guys are unique to me in a powerful, beautiful way. I've never seen anything like this. Children, you guys are my heroes. Like, no, you don't understand at all what I'm saying. Like, wow, we love you and bless you. And oh my goodness, you guys. I told Ben, I said, I don't even know what's going on right now. Like, and you're all here. All the children are here. You don't even know it. Oh my goodness. I mean, little buddy sits beside me and asks me a question about reading the Bible and how to get more desire in his heart. And then he talks about just not knowing about God, but knowing God. And that if we read the Bible, that's how we get to know him. I started to share that part with him through. But he offered all that. And I said, the fact that you sat and asked me these things says everything about you, little buddy. I mean, what is going on right now? Ben just looked at me calm and said, oh yeah, we're really big on teaching to disciple our children. I'm like, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Because no one would know that right now there is more children in here than adults. Because you guys got the first two chapters of Genesis down pat. No joke. Okay. So who knows, Paul's life went through a lot of affliction and adversity. And when Paul talks about it, you ought to read it in 2 Corinthians. I know you know it, but you ought to just refresh yourself on it and read the everything he went through. And then he calls them brief moments of light affliction when you compare it to the eternal weight of his glory when he comes. So he's like, what? This is nothing compared to him. So that's faith. You get it? Most of us, he has a list of like, well, it might be six. Six things he describes. It's at least four of afflictions and things. If we just had one of those, that's a counseling appointment. I'm just being honest in the church. If we just had one of them, we're wondering what we're doing wrong and why God's allowing and what door did we open. The wise man didn't open any door except he's wise and he heard and became. And watch. Was the rain and the floods and the wind a threat to the wise man? Do you think it had any effect on him in a negative way? No, because he was built on Christ. And he was there to manifest Christ. And everything God was building in him, the storm and affliction had no power to tear down. That's so good. Okay, watch this. This is eye-opening. And a lot of people don't understand this is here. But I'm going to bring it to y'all and then I'm going to jump in my truck and drive home and be happy. I'm just going to stay happy. And I'm going to think about you guys. I'm going to, these children, I'm going to think about you children the rest of my life. Blessed, let's just jump into verse 3. We can get away with this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. So he birthed us into a hope that's alive. It's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we have this inheritance, right? That's incorruptible. It's undefiled and it's never going to fade away. And it's even reserved in heaven for us. Like, this is forever, guys. Like, nobody's going to take us out of the palm of his hand. Like, you have to understand in Christianity, like, you're not trying to win. You won. Like, I'm never going to answer for my sins. The blood of Jesus took care of that. I always have access to the Father. He loves me. Nobody can take me from him and he ain't leaving me. Like, I already won. So now I just want to live what I'm here for the while that I'm here. I just want to make most of the moment and redeem the time because the day's evil. And faith says I'm going to do that. And faith says no matter what happens, who I lose, who backs off and how I feel, this is priority. And faith says I'm all in. You get it? And one day I'm going to stand before Him and be so glad I believed in the middle and face of it all. I'm going to be so glad I didn't change my mind about my wife. So glad I didn't give up on either of my children. Just so glad that I didn't let my heart get hurt or jaded in ministry or get caught up in esteem and pride and reputation and try to build something instead of minister something. And just stand before the Lord and just trust that He's going to say, you're guilty of believing. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. Oh my goodness, that just gets my motor running. You say, I thought it was running. No, we were just idling. We've been idling all morning. But man, I'm getting revved right now thinking about that. See, faith takes you there. The just shall live by. Faith is a perspective. Faith's not just a tool to get a mountain to move. Faith is a perspective that you live your whole life by. And we're supposed to have the unity of faith. We're supposed to strive together for the faith, meaning the perspective that I'm teaching right now. That no matter what comes and goes, we are here for one reason and we aren't changing our mind. No matter who quits, gives up, or doesn't cooperate, I am going to respond to the truth. And I've settled in my heart where I stand. You get it? Okay, watch this. So we have this inheritance, and it's not going to fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith. I just preached that out. For salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. All that means is that right now we know in part. We don't have the ability to understand what it's going to be like when we see Him face to face. But the way we see Him through the Word and the way we see the Father through Him through the Word, we can have all that. As we see Him, we be like Him. So the best you can see Him through Scripture is the ceiling. That's what we walk in. Now, the Bible does reveal that we don't know what we're going to be when He comes, and we know we're going to be like Him when we see Him. The Bible says in a twinkling an eye, we're all going to be changed and be made like Him. But we know that we can be made like Him in nature right now, in perspective. We can have this same mind in us that was in Christ. As He is, so are we in this world. So this is talking about something that's forever after everything's wrapped up. So don't get deceived by that and don't like back off and say, well, you know, we'll just never know till the end. No, stop. Well, you know, we just see in part. So why don't you see in the biggest part you can see? Because sometimes people say that for a limitation. And then they back off and they don't pursue. And then they just do church instead of be her. Don't you get caught in that. Okay, we're kept by the power of God for salvation, better revealed in the last time. Uh-oh, in this truth that we just read, I have it all rainbowed. See that big rainbow in my Bible? That's verses 3, 4, and 5. That's a rainbow. That's like, yeah, that's something to wrap faith around. In this I rejoice greatly. Though now, look at the language. Though now, for a little while, comma, if need be. Interesting phrase. Though now, for a little while, if need be. You be grieved by various trials. You know what that if need be phrase I believe is? Just pass the test. Because we all heard the word, so something's coming to try to steal the word. That shouldn't scare us. We're fighting the good fight of faith. We're surrendered. We're committed. That shouldn't scare us. People say, well, I don't want to step out because every time I step out in God, all hell breaks loose. So step out. And when all hell breaks loose, step out again. And press through that thing and realize that thing's trying to lie to you to get you to curl up in a corner and just live with knowledge that in time will condemn you because you're not what you believe, you say you believe, and that'll turn on you. Who knows, you can get to know so much of the Word if you don't become it, it'll turn on you. Amen. And who knows, people will weigh themselves by their knowledge. And then they'll think, man, I've been sitting under Scripture for all these years and this isn't even close to my life. I don't even know if I'm saved. I've seen people do that and have been saved for 10, 12, 15 years and they're full of knowledge. And all of a sudden the devil turns that on them and starts condemning them and judging them by their life versus what they know and what they live. Though now for a little while. Oh, you ought to say that in your heart. Just a little while. Little while. The 8 years with my wife? I don't even know. That sounds so terrible to people. I don't even know what that was. Every day is the same. You're living Jesus. And you're loving her and you're on a mission and a journey. You're not checking a calendar. Oh, this is the fourth month it's been like this. What? I'm not in prison. I'm in Christ. I'm not checking the days. I'm not sentenced. I'm not trying to get an out of jail free card. I'm out of jail. And that's called living for me. Jail was living for me. That's the life sentence you better get rid of. That's a prison. Living for you, prison. Self-centered, prison. Everything dominates you, dictates you, you're subject to your environment. And the biggest lie is when you're selfish, you think you're in control and everything that's happening is owning you. Because it moves you, makes you mad, breaks you, or makes you. Self-centeredness is a prison. That's why you deny yourself. You know what the Bible says? James 3, it's intense. I used to do it in wedding services. And I did great weddings. People ask me to do their weddings. They hear me preaching on love and marriage. And I'm like, you know, it's a shame I don't do weddings anymore because I do the best one in the world. And it would be amazing. And Holy Spirit would come and join you too, but I'm not going to be able to do it. I mess with them. They go, oh, Pastor, you're tearing our heart out. I'm like, I'm tearing my mic off is what I'm doing. Yeah. The Lord's like, okay, Dan. So James 3, you know what it says in 13? Who is wise? Who is wise and understanding among you? He who has the whitest hair in the room. Oh, no, it doesn't say that in Scripture. Proverbs says something about white hair, crown of glory or something. I got carried away. Who is wise and understanding among you? I'm messing up. Pray for me. Don't laugh. Pray for me. I'm in your pulpit here. You pray for me. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them prove. Really means by the conduct of their life that their works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Watch. But if you have bitter envy or self-seeking in your heart, don't you boast and lie against the truth. In other words, don't you act like everything's okay and ignore it and live around it. Deal with it. Call it what it is. Get alone in prayer. Get that thing out of you. Put it on the chopping block and stay consistent. And every time it tries to show up, don't think you're failing. You're being changed. That's the biggest thing. I met a couple people this week and I had to give them that word because I saw that you're not pursuing perfection. You're living with a pure heart and you're growing up into Him in all things. So if you think you slipped in something, it's not failure, you're becoming. The fact that you recognize it and see it for what it is means God's working and this process is healthy and amazing. So you never run from God, you run to God even in weakness. It's not about missing it, it's about becoming. You're not stepping out risking failing, you're stepping out becoming. Yeah? Yeah, but this flesh thing just keeps rising up and I'm wondering, when am I going to get it? You're getting it because you see it. Amen. So as soon as it rises up, Father, you never made me for this. Oh my goodness, you're doing such a work in me. 6 months ago, I'd have did that and had it justified it and thought it was due. And now I see it's never you. And God, and all of a sudden you come out of that thing wiser, sharper, and smarter, and that thing's dying in your life. You see what happens? Yeah? Yeah. Man, yeah, I know. I'm not sure. I think I need to get back to this. I'm going to stop right where I was. If I need to go back, I'll go back. Trust, it'll work that way. I just feel like I need to finish this right now. The selfish thing in James 3 is very important. Let me see if there's a time to wrap that up. But let's go back here to verse 7. For a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Okay. Why doesn't God stop that process? Why doesn't He intervene and keep the trial from coming? That's how we interpret God all the time. Like He's in the desk of administration and everything that happens is the will of God. And that we put God in a box that He doesn't scripturally belong. So why doesn't God intervene and stop this process? Verse 7 is your answer. That the genuineness of your faith, oh, it's a big deal. Believe me, faith is a big deal. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, your faith may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's this saying? This is saying that various trials are coming to your life to prove you really don't believe, don't understand, and aren't surrendered. God says, I ain't stopping this. I'm going to let it unfold so they can prove to the enemy, yes, I am in faith, submitted, and surrendered. You get it? And in that place, you're going to bring praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus, because you're revealing Him, because your life surrendered, found in Him. So here again, this is the sower sows the word principle. What's coming? Adversity to steal the word. You're not taking it personal. You seek those things which are above, and you seek Him, and you seek first the kingdom of God. All of a sudden this is coming, and you live by faith. What's 1 Peter 5 say? The devil's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can. I'll tell you what, you complain, you have opened a whirlwind of adversity up. As soon as you complain, you let the devil know it's all about you, your preferences are Lord, and you ain't satisfied. Bible says, don't you ever complain. Don't you be like they were in the wilderness and find yourself complaining. Because as soon as you complain, you open up to be destroyed by the destroyer, devoured by the one that devours. He says, I write these things to you as an admonishment that you never follow their example. Oh, yeah. And you know how quick people will complain? Well, I'm just tired. Well, I don't know why, God. Well, you know. And the devil's going, they don't even know a thing about surrender. They are so about themselves. This is easy. Poke. Ah! Prod. Ah! Well, I'm going to give up. I don't even know why I bother. Poke. Ah! You ever see the process? And then you say, why is God letting all these things happen to me? He's not. He's not even involved. You're a landing strip for adversity. You got to close that thing off. Come on, that's sober. Who hears the truth in that? Okay. Now I can finish James 3. Isn't that amazing? Watch. The bitter envy, the self-seeking, this wisdom didn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Self-centered. Earthly, sensual, and demonic. So the only thing Jesus is asking you and me to give up to come to Him is what we were never created to be, and what's earthly, sensual, and demonic. Why would we hold on to what we were never created to be? Because unless the seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. But if it would ever die and spring up, it'll bear much fruit. And in this, God's well pleased that we bear much fruit, and our fruit remain. And then He's going to prune us, and we're going to bear even more fruit. Woo! You just want bushels of fruit. So watch this. This didn't descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. And where there's envy and self-seeking present, existing, you can see it in your Bible if you're checking me out and making sure I'm quoting right. Watch this. There's confusion and every evil work present. You're in a bedroom praying only because you're hurt and angry and frustrated, and you think you're praying because you're quoting Scripture. And the whole time, you're attracting the very thing you say you're rebuking. And that's why there's confusion. Because self-centeredness is an invite for every evil work. And I don't care how holy you're speaking. I don't care what you're quoting. When your motive is self-centered, you're an invite and very attractive to every evil work. That's why people pray from the place of pain all the time and pray and pray and pray and pray, and years have gone by and more hell has broke loose. And then they get discouraged and say, I don't know why God never answers my prayer. Who's ever seen that scenario over and over? You don't pray for your spouse because you're hurt by them. You pray for your spouse because they don't understand, they're blind and deceived. And even if you think they understand and they're still doing it anyway, then they're really lost and you ought to care more. So you shouldn't be frustrated. You should have compassion. Instead of taking their life personal, you ought to take Him personal. And you can actually plead on behalf of your spouse from a place of the love of God. And by that gentle, quiet, inward person of the heart, you can win your spouse without a word. But complaining has never transformed a marriage. Self-centeredness has never helped a marriage. I don't care if the spouse is praying day and night. If you're praying from a self-centered place, the prayer is not leaving the room. And every evil work is coming in. That's why, who's ever been so overwhelmed you felt like you could just beat your head on the drywall? It's because confusion and every evil work are in the midst of self-centered motives. It's scriptural. It's not my sermon. It's Bible. Ain't that something? Duh. And I know people, and I've pastored people, they're binding and rebuking the devil, and they're doing all this spiritual warfare, they call it. And the whole time they're doing it, they're mad at pastors, they're mad at the church, they're mad at their spouse, and they think they're interceding. Yeah, they're interceding, all right. They're inviting every trace of hell that they say they're rebuking. Wow. And they're the actual landing strip. They're the airport. If any man come after me, let him. So you're out of darkness and into the light. Why? Your whole motive in life has changed. I used to live for me. Now I live for your great name, your glory, and the sake of others. I love not my own life unto death. I'm all in. I'm putting my hand to the plow and I ain't looking back. And God, if affliction comes, tries to break me, it's only going to make me, because this is for real and I'm surrendered. When you squeeze an orange, you expect orange juice. When you squeeze a Christian, you ought to get Christ. Yeah? That your faith may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. Look at this in verse 8. Whom having not seen you, you love. And though now you do not see him, yet believing. Yet, that's the key. Yet, believing. It's not a self-sorrow story. It's not feeling sorry for yourself. I don't know how long you're going to let this go, God. I don't know why you didn't move yet. I don't know why. You got to shake yourself out of that. There is so much of that in the body of Christ. It's astounding. And it proves that we're coming to God for our sake. We're coming to God to survive. We're not coming to God to be transformed and shine and overtake the earth with His glory. We're coming with a different motive. You've got to change that motive. You can't be a Christian for you. If you're a Christian for you, you're not doing well. You're not excited. If you're a Christian for you, you're not excited. When somebody is excited, you don't understand their excitement, so you think it's made up. Because you think your world is true. And nobody can be that fired up. Well, they can be if they're seeing what you're not seeing. Or not seeing what you're seeing. Yay. Look, though now you don't see him, yet believing. Who's ever been in a situation you say, boy, I don't see God in this at all. Yet believing. You don't let the thing change what you stand for, what you're here for, who's in you, and what you live for. Yeah. Right? Yet believing, you rejoice. This is what I haven't seen. I saw one man in my life fulfill the scripture, and that was just months ago. One man. He got mauled by a pack of dogs, chewed alive. Surgeries, missing flesh, lacerations, unbelievable. The dogs wouldn't let go of him. He's laying in a park, and they're mauling him. And he's laying there singing and praying to God and letting God's grace sustain him. He never sued the man. He never, nothing. He just got up and left God restore him and love him and minister to him. And I've never probably met any man like that man when he shares his testimony and his revelation of loving not your own life. And not letting your heart get hard. And, you know, well, you got to hold people accountable, you know. So I guess Jesus was a pushover. Wrong. Receiving. Uh-oh. So we're gonna know now we don't see him yet believing. Here's what makes the joy come. You're believing. You're not trying to act happy in the middle of a trial. You're not trying to put on joy. That's what people do. See, I just sing loud and put on joy. No. You're believing. It's good tidings of great joy. The joy inexpressible comes from what you believe. And guess what happens then? You receive the end of your faith. We talked about this yesterday in the podcast. The outcome was Cam. I think it was Cam's Bible. The outcome of faith. His translation said the outcome. Mine says the end. Outcome. Some Bibles say the consummation of your faith. In other words, the end result of why we're believing, guess what it does? Hyphen. The end result of your faith? Hyphen. The salvation of your what? Not your spirit, your soul. Guess what got all messed up through the fall of man? The mind and will of man. Got all messed up. Satan plays with people's heads, emotions, and minds. Why? Because he got kicked out of heaven because he said something. I'm going to ascend to the highest place and I'm going to be God. And God said, you should have not said that. Boom, shoo, boom, knocked him to the earth. What's he doing? Still trying to fulfill his decree because he can't do it in heaven. So he's doing it on the earth. What's the highest place of man? What's the highest place of a man? Where is he trying to sit? Right here and rule your life from here with fear, with compromise, with projections, with judgments, with pride, with bitterness, and get you to look like him even though you go to church. That's the war we're in. That's why you got to surrender. That's why you give him no place and you're not unaware of his devices. Are you with me? What's the end of your salvation? Or what's the end of your faith? The redemption, the soteria, the healing, deliverance, and restoration of your mind, will, and emotions. Ain't that something? No wonder the devil plays with emotions so much. We have to make sure as ministers we aren't feeding into that plan and just ministering to people's emotions. We better be ministering to their understanding and to their spirit because we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We are not trying to feel better. We want to believe better. Are you with me? Countless people are asking for prayer to feel better. I'm zero interested in praying for you to feel better. I want to talk to you and find out why you're not feeling good and then get your belief to change. Most of the time, those people don't need prayer. They need understanding. Though now you don't see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Since we're so close, since we're so close, just look at 1 Peter 5. We're right there, and then I'm done. Verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Wow. Because your adversary, the devil, he's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Bind him, rebuke him, shout at him all night from your bedroom floor. It doesn't say that. Resist him, standing steadfast in the faith. Not faith, the faith. The perspective that every Christian should have of who he is now that Jesus came and why he's on the earth. How do you resist the devil? Unmovable in your faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your brethren all over the world. In other words, don't internalize it, don't take it personal, and don't feel sorry for yourself. It's the loneliest party you've ever attended. Why would you go there? Nobody's even there to enjoy you blowing out your candles on that cake. That cake with a sad face. You know what people get reduced to all the time? To the highest grace they receive is that somebody seems to care about what they're going through. And that'll never help them and make them free. That's why hurting people surround people around them that understand their pain.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of people that'll talk them up and out of that place. And they'll call them their friends because they understand. I don't need you to understand my pain. I need you to tell me how to get past it.
Yeah.
I need you to look me in the eyes and say, listen, brother, you're letting this thing matter so much more than matters most. I'm sorry it happened. I wish people didn't do what they did, but they did it. You can't let that person trump who God is and become the Lord of your life and dictate your emotions, disposition, outlook, and the state of your heart. Now, what are you thinking, man? Get up out of this thing and stop taking it personal. Take the gospel personal because you have a different response available in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's how I talk to people in a sensitive way based on their situation, but non-compromised. And I have cried countless times with people just because I understand they went through a lot. It's not that you're insensitive. We need more than sympathy.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
So we're going to run the race, church. Amen?
Amen.
And don't think it's strange when this stuff happens. Your brothers all over the world are going through things. The only reason adversity comes is because you're in a war. Make sure you stand on the winning team and fight the right way, the good fight of faith. Don't internalize it. Don't take it personal. I'm saying this again. If you take adversity personal, you're going to make a big mistake. If you think first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Make sense? God bless you. I feel like I'm going to stop. Let me pray something over you. Father, let continue your hand of grace and blessing upon this community here, God. I'm already overwhelmed. I'm humbled by this place. I'm humbled by these children. I would ask you to let it go and go and go into whatever is possible. Let them not know limits, God. Let the full measure of grace you paid for through the cross of Christ come upon this house. And God, let them walk in you, live in you, manifest you, and reveal you. And let this community around us know who you are, because these people do. I ask for your wisdom among the leadership, and I ask for the thing that you're growing and building to stay protected in truth and only grow and multiply in Jesus' name. Amen.